I'm comedian Timmy Boyle, and this is the greatest live Instagram comedy experience that nobody knew about. March of 2020, I just arrived home from tour when COVID-19 shut down the world. So despite being severely technically challenged, I started a daily live Instagram show right here from my living room. Because how hard could it be? And how long could a pandemic last? Apparently longer than 5 months. So now, 100 episodes later, I've called comedians as diverse in experience as they are in style from all around the world to discuss comedy, life, and, well, whatever. I had no goals, which was a great idea. I avoided tech checks, which was a bad idea. And I eventually wore no pants. The jury's still out on that one. And my OJ, over 150 days, transformed from refreshing drink to rancid mystery liquid right before our eyes. It was a random, free-flowing, hilariously messy ride into the minds and backstage lives of entertainers where anything could happen, and did, including a trip to a goat farm. Overcoming a lack of direction, resources, and tech ineptness, as well as multiple zombie cyber attacks, a project not expected to last even a week soon developed into a must-watch show like no other. But don't take my word for it, see for yourself, right here, on another episode of Calling Comedians in Quarantine. Is that it? Did we get it all? Awesome. Oh. Well, hello to those that are coming in here. Coming in fast and furious, couldn't even push the wave buttons right now. I'm trying to be friendly and push the wave buttons as people are coming in. Thank you for those of you who are joining us so easily right here. Good evening to Roy. Thank you. Hello to my mom. My mom's in here. I see Joy is in here. Mary Jane's in here. Timothy Bannister is also in here, bright and early. We're going to be connecting with Timothy in a minute, or Tim. Now, okay, for the record, I will be Timmy, because I'm Timmy. Although I will ask if he's ever been Timmy, but he goes by Timothy on Instagram. Nobody calls me Timothy, except my mom. My mom calls me Timothy when I do things that are wrong. I don't do a lot of wrong things, but... Anyways, we are excited that you are joining us here tonight. My name is Timmy Boyle. You are watching Calling Comedians in Quarantine. It is episode 32. I have been in my living room now for 4.5 weeks. I've gone outside every once in a while for, you know, zombie hunting, those type of things. I'm going to actually show you. I set up a trap for zombies that I use every night, and I'll show you. I won't show you here. You'll have to follow me on Instagram because that picture will go out soon. But stopped being able to go on the stage, and I'm like, what are we going to do? And I'm like, let's try this technology thing out. So I put this phone. This is my phone. I used to just have a phone that made phone calls, but this now actually does videos. So I put that in my living room, and now I sit here every night at 7 p.m. and call comedians from all around North America, invite them from their living rooms or garages or storage units or cars or basements or goat farms. Believe me, they've literally been from everywhere, and I brought them into my living room, and then from there, through the magic of technology, they go right into your living room. That is amazing. I don't care what people say, oh, the virus is so bad. The virus is bad. But imagine if the virus was here and we didn't have technology, right? Remember? Anybody here remember the Spanish flu? Mom, you remember the Spanish flu? I don't. It's not a question of whether or not I know how old my mom is. I don't know when the Spanish flu was. Everyone keeps talking about, this is as bad as the Spanish flu. Who knows when the Spanish flu is? Nobody knows that information. Who has that information? I suppose you could Google it, but I got better things to do in my life. I'm busy during this quarantine. I like nap and I drink orange juice and I do this show. And sometimes I go for walks. Anyways, that's enough of this. Thank you for those who are coming in. Here we go. Oh, look at this. People throwing in 1918, 1918. That was when my mom was born, or that was when the Spanish flu was? Now I'm confused. They're just throwing ages, numbers out there. I don't even know. All right. So here's what we do. I want you to know that I'm about to bring Timothy Bannister in here, as we call comedians in quarantine. We're going to find out where he's quarantined. But there is one goal on this show, and that goal is to have no goals. So let's see where this little thing goes. Here we go. Timothy Bannister. Let me see. I got this go live button, and we are putting, and let's see if technology, last night, technology went weird on us again. But tonight, Timothy Bannister.
Yes, Timmy Boyle.
What's up? How are you? Oh, wait. Yeah. You're a little bit fuzzy. I want to make sure we got a good connection here before we get this thing going.
I can see you. I can see you very well. I can see you good.
All right. Well, do you normally, like, I don't know if we've ever met in person. Do you normally look like fuzzy and grainy around the edges?
Yeah, it's because I haven't shaved in about a week and a half.
Okay. So, all right.
How's that? Is that a little bit clear around the face, parts of the face?
Sort
of. Still grainy?
Yeah, I mean, look, you still look good, but you look kind of like a watercolor version of yourself. Like if I was doing a watercolor painting, like, so there's no definition. It's just kind of like really rosy cheeks.
Ooh, I do have rosy cheeks though, so it's okay.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
No, you look good. What are you drinking out of, by the way?
I'm drinking out of this, you see this? I know it's backwards here. My dad is the greatest. So some coffee. I don't have a upstanding orange juice mug there, but...
It's a glass, by the way. It's a glass.
But yes, I have. This says the world's greatest dad. My dad is the greatest. And then on the back, it says, "You're the greatest dad." And it says, oh, "You'll always be the one that makes me feel extra specially."
Wait, where did, how did you get my mug?
And do you have one of these?
I thought it was the only one out there.
I got this, you would think my kids gave it to me, but I got it at a thrift store. They didn't give it to me, so. But it still means a lot.
It's still, well, yeah. I mean, because it was probably very rare. Hey, so we've got a couple messages here. The whole screen, yes. Not just your face is blurry, bad Wi-Fi. Do you have a secondary spot you could kind of move your camera to?
I'm in the basement, so that's where I was thinking that would be okay for this did you call it quarantine or quarantine? You say Q twice? Is that how you do that?
No, there's only one Q, because that's how you spell quarantine, with only one Q, but there's a C at the beginning.
Quarantine.
Yeah, calling comedians in quarantine. Yeah.
I'm going upstairs, so there might be...
Oh, yeah, see, you're already getting clearer.
Oh, is it? Okay, well, I'm upstairs now. Upstairs. So let me get some more. There's some light. I'm going in the living room now. So.
Okay, cool. Now, it's not that I didn't like your basement, but.
Oh, good.
Oh, there. See, now you're crystal clear.
Yeah, now I'm going to where the Wi-Fi is. That's my wife. She's pointing me to the bedroom. It'll be better.
Uh-oh. Wait, is your wife watching this right now?
Or yeah, she's right behind my shoulder. There she is.
There she is. Hey, Timothy's wife.
Say hey. There Hi. She is. There she is.
How come you're not watching it on your phone?
She is. She was, but I was in the basement all fuzzy looking, so I'm up here now. I'm in the bedroom next to the Wi-Fi now.
Okay, so now she's going to go and watch it in a different room so she can kind of see what it looks like.
Yeah, she's going to go in there with my daughter. My daughters. We have four kids, so she's going to go in there with them.
Oh, is that your daughter, not Jane Austen?
Yeah, that's one. That's my oldest. That's our 16-year-old.
Nice. Hey, 16-year-old.
Yes. She's in there. Yeah, she's in there watching in her room right now. So anyway, this is better, right? You see me?
Yeah. I can see you absolutely clear. This is awesome. Wait, how many kids you got?
We have four kids. We have
Did you plan that?
Yeah, that was the plan. We made sure we had all girls.
Wow. Good for you.
Now, we have a 16, a 14, 11, and then we are actually in the finalization of adopting she's 5 months old now, another little girl.
Nice.
We're working on that right now.
You did their ages so quickly. Do you find that it's hard to keep track of your kids' ages? Because every year, every single one of them, their ages change. Like, it just becomes this mess. Like, I don't actually know my three.
Yeah, my hardest thing is going to the pharmacy when I go get prescriptions or anything. And you know, do they do that in Canada where they ask you the date of birth for the child or whatever?
We don't even have pharmacies up here. We're a very healthy nation.
Yes, that's that's what I like about Canada. So that's what I like about you guys.
Hey,
so
there's another hi, Dad. So your kids are all jumping in here.
They're all they all are on their phones, just kind of hanging out, saying hi to Dad, and about 20 feet away from me. So
in Canada, you're not allowed to go online if you're younger than 22. We do that to just make sure that we don't expose our kids to anything.
Oh, yeah. That sounds truthful to me. Sounds truthful. Yeah, that definitely sounds right.
Yeah.
I have one of my daughters wants to make sure I get an autograph from Shawn Mendes. I need a Shawn Mendes autograph. Can you arrange that for me?
No, but I can arrange mine.
Okay. Well, she'd much rather have yours.
I will sign. How about this? I'll ship down a glass.
Okay.
And I'll sign it Shawn Mendes.
Okay. She won't know. She won't. She's not listening, really, so she won't know the difference. And can you throw me in one of those, like a signed Alyssa Milano something, maybe?
Like sign Alyssa Milano's name on it, or send you something like Alyssa Milano, like this shirt?
Yeah, did she sign that shirt for you?
She didn't sign the shirt for me, but this was so cool. So I bought this shirt, and it probably looks super awesome on me. Just take a look. So I picked this up when I met Alyssa Milano.
Gotcha.
Like, does that not look, that looks hot.
Where was this at? Was it at a Blue Jays game? You met her at a Blue Jays game?
No, she came to Toronto, can't remember how to fold it. Anyways, I don't know if you can tell though, but it's actually the same shirt she was wearing in this picture. Hello.
Oh my gosh, Alyssa Milano.
Okay,
my favorite conservative friend.
Oh, I don't even know her political stance. It doesn't really matter. She's just adorable.
She is. Well, who's the boss? That's where she came from, right?
She is. Yes, she's the boss. We all knew that. So I actually, my book is dedicated to her. Dedicated to her and to Ben Stiller. And I went down and I stood in line. You had to buy something because that was how she did it. I should probably do that when people want to see me, but I don't think that way. So I bought the shirt. And then I went and I stood in line and I got a chance to meet her, and she looked at my book and she read it and she smiled. So I know she read it. So that's pretty awesome.
That's awesome. No, she is a lovely, lovely lady now. So lovely lady. So,
hey, Joel Madison says, oh, dang. What does that even mean? Is he saying, oh, dang, about Alyssa Milano? Because oh, dang. Exactly. What I'm thinking.
Somebody said go Braves, I guess, because, that's. They must be down here in the ATL like me. Go Braves.
Yeah. No, we are definitely going to talk a little Blue Jays and Braves. Thank you, Joel. Joel was appreciating the shirt, by the way.
I like the sleeves. Very nice sleeves.
So we never know which direction these shows are going to necessarily go. Every comedian kind of takes it down a different route. But I know, though, that you're a Braves guy, right?
Yes, from way, way, way back.
Yes, and I'm a Blue Jays guy still now, but way back. Now, here's what's fascinating. So hang with us, folks, because we're going to talk about some comedy with Timothy Bannister in a little bit. And just for those of you who are coming in, just understand, Timothy Bannister is down there. That's Timothy with an Othy at the end.
Yes.
And I'm Timmy up on top with a Mimi on the end. That's how you tell us apart.
Right.
So we're going to talk about some comedy. We're going to talk about some quarantine kind of issues. But right. I do want to get right into this. And so if you're not a sports fan, just bear with me here. But your love of the Atlanta Braves and my love of Toronto Blue Jays collided back in 92.
It does. And I'll tell you a little story about that when you're ready.
So I wanted to go over a couple things here that I think are very interesting. And you can tell me whether or not you knew this. So prior to our meeting, the Blue Jays went on an 11-year 500 or greater winning percentage. They were actually in the late 80s to early 90s. They were the model team.
Right.
We got scammed twice about going to the playoffs. But from 83 to 93, we were bringing up all the Dominican ball players before other people were. We were like how you build a team from scratch.
Right.
Now your Braves. I'm going to give credit where credit is due here. Your Braves started a 15-year winning record, winning streak in 91. So right when ours was ending, you guys were taking over. Now, we had an 11. You guys had 15. That's amazing.
Yeah, you got two World Series. We only got one.
Yeah, but you went to five.
Right.
You went to five. You only won one. Now, in my household, if you don't win, you're a loser. So you're right. You were losers four times.
Yes, we are.
We won both of ours and one of them against you guys.
Yes.
Now, but I do want you to know how much I appreciate the Atlanta Braves because they were good. Like when we beat you guys had Smoltz, Avery, Glavin. Yep. That could be one of the best top three. You can rank them with the best top three ever. But our offense was incredible.
Yes.
And then you guys had Jeff Reardon as your closer, who was no slouch. But in game two, game changer, one of the top five home runs in Blue Jays history was when Ed Sprague hit the dinger off of Reardon to tie that series, which ended up making us go on to win. Now, I want to just take a moment here because I know some people say, well, when you have guests on the show, you should treat them properly and make them feel at home. So I would just like to share this moment with you and our audience here. Here we go. Enjoy. So this is Mike Timlin.
You know, hey, I was at this game. This is game six. I was at the game.
Here we go.
Otis Nixon's about to bunt.
Why in the world? This is game six. Tying run is on third.
Yep. He bunts. Yep. I remember.
Why did he bunt?
I have no idea. That's Joe Carter on first base. Dave Winfield hit the game winning double in that game, didn't he? In the 10th inning or 9th inning?
Yeah, it might have been the 9th.
Yeah, Winfield got a big hit in that game. It's like his last year.
There you go. I wanted to share that with you.
It was terrible. I was there at the old Fulton County Stadium for that thing. I was there. It was awful. Steve Avery started that game. I remember, but we lost.
So I was down. I was down at the Sky Dome that night. We called it the Sky Dome. And I wanted to show you this. I was down at the Sky Dome. Here are a pair of jeans.
Oh, no. Oh, those are not.
These dirt stains are from second base at the Sky Dome.
Oh, no.
Because they had the field ready. They still had the field prepared. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so we rushed the field and I slid into second base. I slid head first into second base and that is dirt there. So.
Oh my, you've never washed it since? No way you did. I know you.
No, I've never washed them. And, but I wore them in a photo and they still fit me.
Oh, let me show. My wife's got something I have to show you in a minute. I've got my Brave t-shirt from the third grade and it's still, I can wear it. It doesn't fit. I can barely put my head.
Do you want one of these? The 92 Blue Jays World Series Coke cans?
No, we were losers that year. You know, here's my t-shirt. Hold that up, please. This is my t-shirt from second grade. I still have it. I wore Braves Fever, catch it. I think that's Phil Negro hitting a fastball. I don't know what's going on with that. So
Phil Negro.
It's like a size 6 for kids, but I can still wear it.
Hey, I wear my son's shorts when he was 10. So whatever you need to wear.
That would be awesome.
There's pictures of it.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, you know, Deion Sanders would have been the MVP of that series if the Braves would have won it. You know that, right?
You guys had not only did you have Deion Sanders, who
he was tuning, I think. He just started starting that year.
That boy is legend. Like he excelled.
Yeah, he was
at
amazing.
Baseball and football. Unreal. Also had David Justice, which whatever you want to say about David Justice, I actually have like a stack of his rookie cards because he was supposed to be the guy to make me rich, and that didn't happen.
I did that with Steve Avery. I had all Steve Avery's rookie cards, and he had like a 4-year career. Then he kind of went away. That was it. So.
Yeah. So let me ask you this before we go into some comedy.
Yeah.
My top five Blue Jays: Bautista, Dave Steeb, Roy Halladay, Pat Henkin, Tony Fernandez. Who are your top five Braves?
Did you not say Roberto Alomar?
He's not in my top five.
Okay,
not the best Braves ever. Your favorite five. Those are my top five favorite Blue Jays.
I'll tell you 5-1 because number one is simple for me.
Okay.
Number, we'll go down. Just say 5 in any order. 2 through 5 in any order.
All right.
Smoltz, Glavin, Maddox. Probably tied between Chipper and Andrew Jones.
I can't take ties.
One and number one, And of course, Hank Aaron is the best of all time, but favorite during my lifetime was Dale Murphy, hands down, not even close.
All right, so CJ Rossetti there.
I grew up as a kid playing baseball, and I played center field in Little League, in middle school, in junior high, and high school. So Dale Murphy was always my hero. He still should be in the Hall of Fame. But one day,
He probably should be. Yeah, so I would agree with that. But I wanted to take you down that little bit of memory lane.
I love it, man. Great. You can't argue with any of your guys. I mean, Blue Jays have had great players, some great players, fantastic players.
You guys now have one of our best, although short lived. I mean, he was only here for 3 years, but you got Josh Donaldson now. He carried us through those two playoffs. Yeah.
They wanted to get him again this year, but it's just too injury prone. I think it's just too much money to pay for him. He might get hurt. He's like 33 now, so kind of a chancy thing. So anyway, yes, thank you for going down the memory lane. I'm a huge Braves fan.
I appreciate you walking through that. That was one of my that was one of my favorite. I mean, we had never won before. That was the first championship because I hadn't seen the Leafs win.
Now you know who built those Blue Jays team. Bobby Cox helped build those teams, right?
Bobby Cox absolutely built those teams. And then he went to you guys too. We actually have a lot of ties between the two franchises. They're both up and coming now. They're both young, really interesting teams. So comedy-wise, listen, Timothy, so for those of you who are watching right now, just as an update, Timothy Bannister down there, Timmy Boyle up here. We were talking about Mike Timlin earlier. Mary Jane pointed that out. There's actually three Tims in here. We're connecting it all. Alyssa Milano's in the back. She's not a Tim, but we're all happy she's here. So comedy-wise, tell me how you got into it. And then I want to talk about one particular thing that I love about your comedy. But how did you get into comedy? Why did you get into comedy?
Well, I've always, just like you, I'm sure, I'm 49. You're a little bit younger than me, I think, but I'm 49. But I grew up, I had an older brother. Of course, when I was in middle school, introduced me to comedy, probably like you did. You had someone introduce you to a lot of the great comedy shows. But probably my earliest memory of just watching comedy was Saturday Night Live in the late 70s when I was like 7 or 8 years old. And one of my first memories was watching John Belushi do The Samurai Warrior on Saturday Night Live. And then my brother introduced me to Monty Python. Of course, I've been a Python fan ever since.
Yep.
And Steve Martin's probably my favorite all-time stand-up just because I was a kid when I saw Wild and Crazy Guy. And then I also saw him performing the dogs on the Carol Burnett Show. I was like, I love this guy. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know, that was what it was. But I started doing comedy after I graduated. I graduated University of Georgia in 1994. I moved to New York just to do it and took a stand-up comedy class in New York City. And I did it up there and did some open mics up there for a couple of years and moved back down, was in the Army, and just got back into it pretty big in the last 3 or 4 years, just trying to get back into it, get my confidence back up and get back on stage and writing a lot more again. So
okay, here's a question about stand-up comedy classes. I'm on the side of, not that they don't have value,
right?
I can understand this, but I also believe that the moment someone says, I think I'm going to go take a stand-up comedy class.
Yeah.
My thought process is, you're already not going into comedy.
I thought that, but I tell you, for me, it was probably a confidence thing. I'd never been out. I was never good to get in front of people. I was always shy and nervous, especially in high school, especially middle school. But I took that class not really to be funny. And I remember we had these mini cassette recorders. This is like 1994. These tiny little cassettes. Remember those? You could like hit it and you could
record. Yeah, you record your, I did that like a phone. Two different devices.
Yes. But you know what I mean? It took me, I did that and did 5 minutes. It was terrible. It wasn't comedy at all. It was awful. But it gave me the confidence to get up, and I started doing open mics in the city and knew it, realizing I wasn't very good, and I knew how long it was going to take to be decent. And did it for a couple of years and then kind of moved back down here. But I know what you mean. If you're going straight, just take a class to be funny. Yeah, I get it. But for me, it was about just trying to get some stage presence to have the guts to even get up on stage. And that's what it was for me.
I agree. I think you either are born funny. You're either funny or you're not funny. You can't learn to be funny, but you can learn. Obviously, there's the craft.
Yeah, the craft and the confidence that comes with it. And that's always a battle for all of us, of course. So.
Now, there's two things that I've seen online. Since we've been in quarantine, obviously people have been just comedians are trying to find a way to do their thing here online. That's why I started the show, right? Just trying to find a way to get an outlet here. There's two things that I've been enjoying immensely online, and I would encourage anyone watching to make sure that you go and follow Timothy Bannister. Do actually people call you Timothy, or do you just do that because Tim Bannister was taken?
No, that's good. It may have been taken, but it you said this before I got on here. You said your mom's the only person that calls you Timothy, right?
When I do something wrong, yes.
Something wrong.
Only in that particular moment.
Yeah, my middle name was Timothy. I mean, it was Daniel. So it was always Timothy Daniel if I was in trouble. But now I was only called Timmy one time, and that was only by my dad's mom. So my grandmother called me Timmy Two Shoes. She always called me Timmy Two Shoes. I have no idea why. I mean, I wore two shoes pretty much. I still do. Still wear two shoes.
Yeah.
Call me Timmy Two Shoes.
That seems to be a good connection because I get two shoes.
did anybody ever call you Timmy Two Shoes coming up?
No. But people would call it. See, my mom just stepped in. So just if you can just not swear, that would be awesome.
Yeah, I was about to let her rip. My kids are watching, so I was going to let it rip.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was going to too, and then I heard your kids were watching. I was like, oh man. So she would call me Timothy John, but here's the thing. She would also call me Timothy John Edward Boyle. Now, I don't have Edward in my name. Okay. Wow, my dad is named John Edward Boyle. So whenever I got in trouble, she was also getting mad at my dad.
Yes.
Because she would call me Timothy John Edward Boyle, and I don't have Edward in my name. It was literally like a shot at my father as well. It was a really interesting thing.
That is so true, because when my wife is mad, and if my wife gets upset at the kids or frustrated, she's really most upset at me, usually. Mm. I'm the one that's in trouble the most and has to get out of it. So even though I didn't do anything.
We never do. Hey, So what I'm saying is that you guys need to follow Timothy Bannister here on Instagram, and we'll talk about at the end of the show wherever else people can find you. But sure. So two things I really enjoy: your stand up show with the Barbie dolls or the dolls.
Oh yeah, we just done a couple of those, the COVID Comedy Cabana thing.
Yeah. I think you should do more of those. I like those.
I tried to make a point to do it with only stuff I just wrote, even though they may not be very funny, just something to say it out loud in front of the Barbies, and that was it.
Yeah. No, I think it's a funny concept, and I've enjoyed watching those. But thanks. My favorite thing that you do is, and I've seen very little of what you do on stage. I actually don't know very much about your stage performances, but I love the Barnabas character.
Barnabas Oliver. Yeah, I've done a decent amount of that, but I'm still trying to figure that character out. He's just a guy. See, I grew up in I grew up in the Southern Baptist Church. How about you? What kind of church you grew up in?
I grew up in a Christian church.
Probably not Southern Baptist, but I grew up in Southern Baptist. So Barnabas is like a really middle to older deacon. He's like 50 or 60. No hair, cut off short sleeve shirt with a knit tie. But he gets thrown into having to make the announcements at church every once in a while because, hey, Barnabas, go up there and do the announcements. And he's just really bad at it. He's terrible in front of people. And that's kind of the idea of what it is. And Barnabas was like, well, I like the name Barnabas from the Bible. We'll just spell it wrong and we'll just make him Barnabas Oliver. And we didn't even think about B.O. So checking out B.O. Barnabas Oliver.
Yeah.
So that just kind of was an accident. So, he just makes up really bad stories from church or something else, and he's just really bad. That's the point of it. He just doesn't really know what he's doing.
Well, what I love about him is because I do have a church background history. I was like six months old or whatever when I was literally born and raised in a church. And the reality is, and then as I became a youth pastor, and then as I became a tour manager, and I was traveling to churches all around, and I was speaking on religion's behalf. I've seen so many, I've been in so many churches, and even as a comedian, and dealt with so many boardrooms and boards and deacons, and every single church in North America probably has a Barnabas Oliver in their congregation. May not be in leadership.
Yeah. But he's a layman. He wears tweed jackets with the nice patches on the sleeves. Yeah. Of course, he very 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 nice looking, handsome usually in a weird kind of way. But he takes a bit off. He's the main guy they call for. You know what it is? When I grew up, they'd bring the all four ushers would come to the front during the offering, somewhere during the service. Mm-hmm. He would be the one of the four that didn't need to get called on to say the prayer at all because he was too scared to. But yet he got thrown into having to do the announcements one weird Sunday morning. So, yes, you can relate. You know exactly who I'm talking
yeah,
about.
Yeah, yeah. Everybody has one. So if you know somebody, like I know you guys, you just got to go watch it and then watch it. And I bet you when you're watching it, not only will you have a nice laugh throughout them, but you will immediately in your head going, oh, my goodness, I've met this guy. If you've had any yeah. sort of church background at all, what do you love? No, because you talked about Belushi doing the samurai. Steve Martin back on Saturday Night Live.
Yes.
What do you enjoy about playing a character as opposed to being on stage and being a? I don't think any of us are exactly us on stage.
Right.
There's personas and exaggerations of who we are. But what do you enjoy most about playing a character here on like in kind of sketch form?
I love it. It's something I've never done a lot. I took an improv class years ago. I realized improv really wasn't my thing. And I don't know. This is the first time I've really had a character, and it was totally by accident. I started playing around with this guy, shirt. I would go to Christmas parties and wearing sweaters that were sizes too small or a woman's sweater just to, extra tight. And that's kind of what kind of evolved into Barnabas. It was just doing this, just being silly. But I think it was because of you. I knew this guy. Just like you said, every church you go to, and I served as a youth pastor in about two or three churches over the years. And you're right, every church has this guy. And it just kind of was like, this needs to be talked about. He needs to get up there and talk about something that really is not important at all. It's really bizarre. He's going to stumble through it. And that's kind of me, I think. I like I don't know. Is it a Mr. Bean that I like a little? I don't know. I just like the awkwardness. I like silence.
Yes, there's definitely an awkward silence to it, which is what I love. Like I enjoy, this is what I enjoy about like shows like this. We have had some really awkward moments over the last 30, this is episode 32. Yeah. We've had technology problems and people all over the place. And to me, I don't ever look at it as like going, oh, that episode's been ruined. It's like the awkward right. moments for me, sometimes make the show. Now, right now, unfortunately, we haven't had any awkward moments.
No.
I tried to create one by showing you a heart-wrenching loss, but I don't know if that resonated.
No, I just love awkwardness. I think that is what, and I guess that's what drew me to Steve Martin, because if you watch Steve Martin, if you really listen to what he talks about when he does Wild and Crazy Guy on that album, mm-hmm. it is nonsensical. It is absolutely nonsensical. It was just his confidence and his just strange take on it. And then when he did some of his weird skits on whatever shows back in the day, those were just so awkward that, it just like we sat down, my kids and I were watching some weird awkward moment in Holy Grail the other night, and they'd never seen it before, but they got it immediately.
Nice. I think you've done a good job as a father then.
Yeah, yeah. It's just like, I think it was the part where Eric Idle and Graham Chapman are the guards. They're playing the guards. And they're talking about watching the king inside the castle, like, don't let him get out. And they go back and forth. My kids just died hysterically. It was just awkward. It was cheesy. It was middle school type humor. But it was just like, ah, I get this. This is awesome. So, and I know you like that kind of stuff, too.
Middle school like humor, but brilliant.
But it's yes, thing, it is.
Right. When people talk about, dumbing down the comedy, and it's like, oh, well, that's childish humor. No. Yeah. There's a difference between bad humor.
Right.
And even childish humor, like childish humor, sometimes it can be very, very like just what would you kind of like, it's like stock. Like it's yeah. just kind of yeah. like any old fart joke. But you bring in a Monty Python, you bring in a John Cleese and those guys, they took such simple concepts,
yes.
somehow made them complex, really.
Yeah.
And yet at the core, it's just this absolute silliness, but an adult can sit down and appreciate every single moment of it.
Yes. My daughter, she had never seen it. I said, hey, watch this skit on, and it was the skit where they do the hide and go seek Olympic or the hide and go seek thing and they for each other. It just is so dumb, but yeah. I'm like, brilliant. I watch it over and over again. God, this is crazy. So that kind of stuff. I like awkwardness. I think in comedy, if you really want to, you know, you got to be yourself. That's number one. But I think if you want to stand out really and want to just really be your best, you got to be, just be you, but you can't try to be like everybody else. There's a lot of comics that if you look at a whole bunch of them together, just across the spectrum, a lot of the same kind of stuff, you know, just set up punchline yep. joke, same stuff. I'd rather you bomb and be different than to be like everybody else. That may sound a little weird, but that's just how I look at it.
No, I think you're absolutely true.
Don't be predictable. That's what I say. Take risks, even if it bombs. Take risks.
That's how I built my 11-year plus a full-time career. Is I go out there and I bomb every show. Therefore, I'm memorable and unique.
Exactly. Hey, well, hey, didn't Andy Kaufman read some book at a comedy yep. show one time, and they booed him off the stage and got him out of there? But you know what? No one else did it. So
yep. I'm not saying he's that. A legend.
He's a legend because he didn't try to conform. So I appreciate that.
Hey, I'm going to. Sorry, I got to plug in my phone. There we go.
I like stuff. Is that a Simpsons? What's the yellow book behind you? Is that the Simpsons? Next, I see Space Invaders. Oh, that's just all. That's yellow.
That's the 80s.
Simpsons thing. No, you got your ode to Star. I started to wear my Space Invaders T-shirt for you, man. I'm sorry, I started to. Hey, what was your favorite all-time Atari 2600 game? What was your favorite game? You had one, I'm sure, at some point, probably.
Wait, did I have the 2600?
Oh, no, here we go.
What's this one here? Is that the 26?
Oh, my gosh, you got, like, an original one. Is that an original yes. one?
Yes, sir, and it actually still works. It's plugged into my TV.
Still kicking myself for giving that thing away like years ago.
It still actually works. I'm telling you what, my kids' Wii, which is already outdated, won't survive 30 plus years. Actually, maybe not. Okay, we're getting ready to close here because I know everybody's really busy here on quarantine time. My favorite Atari game is probably E.T.
Oh, you like E.T.? Isn't that the one they had to bury all the copies in a hole somewhere?
They did. It's listed as the worst game ever.
I don't know if I ever played it. I think it came out when I was in the sixth grade, and I think a friend at school had it, so I played it. But you know what, a game that came out around the same time that I loved, it came out a year or two before, was the Raiders of the Lost Ark. That was a good game. I enjoyed Raiders of the Lost Ark and the original Adventure.
Adventure. I used to go through the maze where it would go dark and the bat would always take my sword. It was always like, oh, come on. Pitfall was mentioned here. Pitfall actually was the very first game that I fell in love with that got me the Atari. I played it at someone else's house and I was like, I need this. Now, did you know Pitfall was one of the very first games that had the moving screen?
Yes.
Was just there, and the screen was going. It was like Atari was like, and so mine still works, but
That was Activision. Activision sort of took it to a different level a little bit, but I remember when I got for Christmas, I got Combat, which came with the game. Came with Atari. I think Combat came with it. I got Asteroids and Space Invaders.
Golden Tee. I've never even heard of Golden Tee. Uh oh. Wait, I'm losing you. Can you see me? Your sound is gone. Can't hear you. Hey, if anybody else is out there, can you guys hear me? Or is it me or you? We're trying to figure out whether or not you can hear. I can't hear you. I'm going to put in here, you have no sound. I'm actually going to put that right in here. So ladies and gentlemen, somehow, I can't hear Timothy. Timmy is food. Timmy is food. What? Now I got this problem with my phone again. Silent. Here we go. Hey, we did it, everybody. Right? Remember when we were talking about awkward moments? Wait. Whoa. Hold on. What's going on? Okay. Hey, all right, Timothy Bannister has left. Ladies and gentlemen, I assume he's going to come in. Try to come in one more time, Timothy, if you can, to have a proper send-off. And then we're going to wrap this thing up. Let's go see if Timothy Bannister can be in here one more time as we close off the show here on Calling Comedians in Quarantine.
Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah, I don't know what happened there. Hey,
that on my end.
That's the bell, though. We got to get going, my friend. But we did it. We got the awkward moment right at the end. I didn't think it was going to happen, but it did.
Hey, I wanted to let you know how I even – do you remember how you found out who you were? Did you know how that happened?
How I found out who I am?
No. Who you are. Then I found out who you were. You know who told me about you and how funny you were? You know who that was?
Jesus?
Jesus was first. This was the second person.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I have no idea who.
Steve Geyer.
Steve Geyer.
Steve said, you got to check this guy out. He's got these crazy videos with these transformer looking things.
Oh, man. And I got to bring.
Bring that.
Have you ever seen them?
Yes. That's how I got to know who you were. I messaged you or something. That's like 6 or 7, 8 years ago.
Yeah. I got to bring back Pessimist Prime.
Oh, so hilarious.
Pessimist Prime is my character. And I need to resurrect him. I don't know if I should. Okay. Here's a question for you before we wrap this up. Comedically, would you revive the old videos, which I still enjoyed?
Yes.
Or should I just release the character again, with better everything all these years later?
Well, I think they're brilliant. Maybe give a taste to the people who haven't seen it of the old stuff and then resurrect it into the new stuff. That's what I would do. I think they're brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Thank you. It was one of my favorite things I ever did, and then it just died. As a lot of my ideas do, because then I move on to something else. I have a hard time sticking to something. This is the longest. My goodness, this is 32 episodes. I've never stuck to anything creatively this long. Well, I guess my comedy career is a giant long thing, but within there, I keep jumping ideas. Okay.
Thank you for letting. We appreciate it. As a comic speaking for other comics, we appreciate you doing this. It's awesome.
Oh, man, thank you. I appreciate you being on here. So tell everybody very quickly how they can find you.
On Instagram, Timothy Bannister Comedy, and Facebook, same thing. Also, I have a little on YouTube. I think on YouTube I have Timothy Bannister and I have a Barnabas Oliver channel. And they may sort of overlap each other. But I think there's 25 or 30 little Barnabas episodes if people want to watch them, and they're all their awkward entirety. They're pretty goofy, but... That and really just Facebook. That's really about it. MySpace is still pretty active, a couple of my videos, but that's really about it. I'm just kidding.
Okay. So Timothy Bannister. Yes, buddy, it was a pleasure. I mean, this is probably the longest conversation we've had. Let's stay in touch. I hope your family stays well. And we'll maybe when this whole thing ends, I'd still like to get down your way and then maybe get you up here. And let's try to work together on something.
I would love to, man. I think you're awesome, man. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Say hi to your family. Well, I guess you don't have to say hi. I'll say hi. Your whole family's here. Hi, family.
I just say hi. I'll say hi to your mom. I see your mom, Jeannie. Your mom's Jeannie, right?
Janine. Yeah.
Janine. Hi, Janine. Thanks so much.
And I will. I'll look into getting a Shawn Mendes glass down to your daughter.
Oh, she would be so thrilled.
All right, I'll look into that. Thanks, man.
Thanks.
Stay safe.
Yeah, man.
Hey, everybody! Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Calling Comedians in Quarantine. Please take a moment to like, share, subscribe, and ring the little bell so you and your friends don't miss any of the laughs. Episodes will be uploaded here at Timmy's Shorts daily until I run out. And be sure to check out the description below for links to connect with myself or my guests on social media, support us by buying merchandise, and also download the podcast version of this show. Until next time, remember, your brain, it's for thinking, not for eating. So just say no to zombies. My name's Timmy Boyle.